everybody, and welcome to MoCo's Most Famous Podcast. My name is Joe Yashiroff. I'm the Director of Content at Montgomery Community Media. We often profile prominent folks from Montgomery County, and today we have a very special guest who played football and lacrosse and basketball at Quince Orchard, and then at Navy, and now he's at TCU, and in a few days he'll be playing in the national championship game of college football. He's got an amazing story. Johnny Hodges, welcome, and you're in the Final Four. You're playing Michigan. Obviously, you guys were the underdogs, and you're used to that role. And I want to know the feeling of beating Michigan, 51-45, incredible game, in a game where you were not expected to compete or win the game. How did that feel?
You know, it felt great. Just, you know, going out and doing something that other people don't think you're going to do or accomplish feels great. But the people in the room knew we could easily win that game if we just played hard, played well, did what we're supposed to do. And then, you know, we went on the field and executed well enough. We let up a bunch of points, especially in the second half, but, you know, got the win. That's all that matters. Felt great and short-lived because we're on to the next one now.
Yeah, you sound like a football player or like a football coach. You know, you can celebrate that for a few minutes, and now you're on to the next one, which happens to be the national championship game. So did you ever imagine going to TCU that you'd be playing in the national championship game?
No, I was so happy when they first reached out and offered me that. I was, you know, just living on a dream there. Me and my buddies went out when they offered and had a good time and celebrated. And, you know, I knew I was going to play big-time football, and I knew I'd a chance to play big-time games, meaningful games. But I did never in my wildest dreams think, you know, I'd be playing a national championship this time last year. But since it's here, like, you know, it's here. It's going to happen. We're going to play well. We're going to play hard. Can't wait.
Do you feel good about how the nation now has seen TCU and can realize that while it's still a surprise that you were in the Final Four, that you beat Michigan, that there's legitimate talent on this team and that it's not as fluky as some might think it is?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, there's always going to be doubters, and the media still isn't, you know, bought in, and a lot of people aren't bought in, but there's no denying we have talent on our team. I mean, we have an exceptional quarterback. Our offense is playing great. We have wide receivers that are, you know, really, really good. We got defensive players that can fly and run around. And yeah, so they definitely see we have talent. I mean, you'd love for there to be more respect, but at the end of the day, like, who cares? It just gives you more of a chip on your shoulder. So.
And we've talked to many guys with chips on their shoulder. I know we've talked to Jake Funk, same kind of story. He's only a 3-star athlete. And then he ends up, you know, with the Rams, and then won the Super Bowl last year. So there's some parallels there. Okay, so I want to go back now. So you're from Darnestown. You go to Quince Orchard. You're a 3-sport star. You excelled at football, basketball, and lacrosse. Which was your best sport, do you feel like, in high school?
Well, I can definitely say that basketball was not my best sport. You know, I just played my senior year, and I remember I was walking in the hallway. We just won the state championship, and Coach Foringer, the coach at the time, came up to me and was like, "Are you playing basketball or what this year?" And I didn't even know he knew who I was, but I played for like I-270 and stuff growing up, and I was pretty good, and I was a little kid. So I guess he was, you know, hoping I'd play, and I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then went and played. So it definitely wasn't basketball, but you know, I was pretty good at football and lacrosse. I mean, I made all met for football, so that was pretty cool. And then lacrosse, I got injured and stuff my senior year, so I couldn't play. But I was a big part of the team. So, yeah. I don't know, one of those two. I was pretty good at both.
All right, so now you're waiting for these offers to come, those offers to fly in from all these colleges across the country. How many offers did you get to play football in college, Johnny?
Yeah, I was waiting for those. When I made the All-Met team, you know, my head got a little big, and I might have gotten a little bit big for my britches, and I thought they were going to come, but didn't happen. When I was in high school, I know I got an offer from UPenn. I got an offer from Army. And I think that's it. I think those are my two offers. I can't remember any other schools. I know like Syracuse was showing some interest, or Coach Kelly was telling me they were the football coach at QO, and Pitt was showing interest. But yeah, I think those are my two offers. That's it. Didn't get one from Navy. Just those two schools.
What did that do to your ego? What did that do to your dreams of playing big time football?
I wouldn't say it hurt my ego because I still was like, oh, I have lacrosse going. So maybe I was just at the time, I think I just thought I was better at lacrosse. But you know, Navy did a really good job humbling my ego and that sort of thing. I went into college and I was very, you know, narcissistic and into myself and that sort of thing. And I was humbled very quickly, fortunately. But, you know, just not getting those offers. I mean, I just thought, look, football was out of the picture and I was going to go play lacrosse. I was like, everything happens for a reason. Football's not happening. Maybe I'd go out and, you know, hurt myself or just be miserable. So it kind of just turned out to be the other way around. And then I missed football and then things just worked out.
So you play lacrosse at Navy, COVID happens, then you end up on the football team there and you play pretty well, including a great game against SMU, which turns out to be pretty important. At that point, were you thinking, okay, it's great at Navy. They've helped me mature and humble myself. At that point, did you say I want to play at a bigger time program?
I'd say a little bit. The main reason I left Navy, it wasn't because I was like dreaming of playing bigger time football. It was more so I was just miserable, like mentally, physically. I was having a tough time, you know, on the football team, just being under how they coached and that sort of thing. I was just struggling a lot. And it got to a point where my parents were really worried it was going to ruin me for the rest of my life. My parents and my friends, they weren't recognizing who I was anymore. I was getting really skinny, losing a lot of weight. I was looking sick all the time. So it was more so a thing just to kind of save my confidence and save myself from who knows what. So that's more the reason I entered the portal and got into the portal. Not so much so me dreaming of playing big time football now.
Okay. Now, how many people offered you when you entered the portal?
I got an offer from TCU. And then the day after TCU offered me, I got an offer from Towson. So those two schools.
Two schools. And then you decide to go to TCU. Why?
Because it was Power Five and, you know, big time football.
And Sonny Dykes. Cool.
It's cool too.
Yeah. And Sonny Dykes had obviously seen you play. I think it was the Navy SMU game where you had maybe your best game to that point. And how much did that have a effect on him recruiting you and you going to play for him?
I mean, I think it had a pretty good effect. Obviously I had a good game that game, but I was in contact and stuff with Coach Gillespie, our defensive coordinator. So Coach Gillespie, he was the defensive coordinator at Tulsa, right? And I know SMU was my best game, but Tulsa was my second best game. I think I had a forced fumble, like a strip sack, and I had a bunch of big hits. So I was really getting in contact with him. Coach Dykes had just gotten hired, and he was just so busy with interviews and stuff. I don't even know if he ever saw my emails to him, like me reaching out to him. And then, but Coach Gillespie was the one who I got in contact with. He called me and reached out to me. So I definitely think the SMU game had a pretty big impact, because when Gillespie probably brought me up to Coach Dykes, he was like, oh, yeah, I remember that kid. Let's bring him on. But I think the Tulsa game ultimately, you know, got me here. I think, I don't know. They offered me. They didn't tell me why. They thought I was good enough. They believed in me. That's why.
Yeah. And then you go to TCU and you're not just one of the guys, you're one of the leaders, one of the leading tackler, newcomer of the year in the Big 12. So how much of adjustment was that from you, at least from the outside? It didn't look like it was much of an adjustment because of, you know, how you played, but how much was that an adjustment for you?
I don't know. I've always kind of just tried to lead by example. I'm never going in the locker room or going up to guys like trying to hype them up or telling them what to do, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. I just go with the flow. And I think people, I just started kind of, you know, leaning on me just because of how I approach every workout, how I approach practice, how I approach film, how I approach game days, how I played in games, how I stayed calm during games, regardless of what was going on. And I think that's what kind of got me into the leadership position. But I just came every day with the mindset of, okay, no one else believed in me, so I got to prove everyone wrong, one. Yeah. And then at the same time, this is the only school that believed in me, so I got to bring everything I can possibly bring every day because they're the only ones that took a shot on me. They need me to do well. So I don't think I really tried to get in a leadership position. I don't even think of myself as leader. I just think of myself as another kid on the team, and I just, you know, try to do things and lead by example. And then I owe it to the school and to the coaches and to the people that brought me in, to my family, to, you know, just bring it every day.
I talked to Coach Kelly, your coach at QO, about you, and he, you know, obviously you have the athletic ability, otherwise you can't excel in three sports, but he talked about your IQ. Have you always been a high IQ person and player, and where did that come from?
Yeah, I guess I've always been, you know, I've always been a student of the game. I've always loved watching football. I've always loved watching film. I've always loved watching other teams, other kids play football. So I guess, yeah, I've always just been an IQ player. I think that came from just growing up. I remember my dad and I, my brother, we would always watch like Football Lifes on TV. Mm-hmm. We would record every football life and then just watch them. And a lot of the players that I looked up to just would talk about their dedication to the game and their love for the game, their love for working out and their love and the high they would get on the fan, like game day experience from the fans. So I was always like, okay, I want to be like these guys. That's what these guys do. These guys aren't the most athletic people in the world. They're not the biggest. They're not the fastest. They're not the strongest, but they're the best. So I want to be like them. And when I was young, you know, relying on the athleticism, but definitely the IQ is what's getting me over the hump now.
What is the most exciting aspect? I know you're trying to treat this as another game. I totally get that. But what is the most exciting aspect about your next game on January 9th for you personally?
Well, I'm not treating it like another game. I mean, it's a championship, but it is another game. Like, is what it is. It's another game. But the most exciting aspect, I don't know. I mean, I get excited for every football game, I guess. Just playing in like a big stadium, a stadium I've never been to. I've only been to LA once. I went when I was really little because I have family out there. But just going experiencing a new town, playing in a big stadium, that's pretty exciting. It's a brand new stadium. So that's what I'm probably, you know, most looking forward to. It's probably going to be sick being in there.
Absolutely. And then playing the defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs. What about that part?
Well, that too. I mean, it doesn't matter who you play at this stage. Like, everyone's good. I mean, they have a ton of talent. They got a great quarterback who I really respect and just admire his story and his passion for the game. And then everyone else is just big-time recruits, big-time players. And then, you know, just get an opportunity not a lot of people get to do. They've been where we want to be. Yeah. And no one practices and works out all year to come in second place. So we're both going to go at it, play as hard as we possibly can. And I'm sure it's going to be a great game, hard-fought battle.
You mentioned the quarterback, Stetson Bennett. His story is not a lot unlike yours. Walk on, nobody wanted him, that kind of thing. So do you feel kind of a kinship with him in some ways? You know, you got all these five-star guys, and he is definitely – he wasn't one of those guys. And I guess you weren't either. So is there sort of a kinship there in some way?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's a little bit more big time than me, so hopefully he knows who I am. But yeah, you know, I just admire his story. I admire underdogs. I admire people who have been through a lot and then succeed. So just seeing his perseverance and stuff, of course there's a kinship. I really respect him. It's going to be an honor competing against him. I can't wait. Can't wait to talk to him during the game, talk trash, you know. Hopefully have a couple big hits. Hopefully has a couple big passes, and it'll be, you know, fun time. It'll be great.
You mentioned talking trash, Joel. There have been some great trash talkers in the history of sports. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, to name a couple for old guys. For me, when you're trash talking, what is there a strategy to your trash talking?
No, not at all. I just try to go out there and have fun. And you know, if someone gets the best of me one play, I'll let them know. I'll be like, hey, that was a great kick step. I would not have attacked the quarterback there. That was a good block. But you know, when I get a good play, I'll be like, oh, you know, got my hands on you there. You got to block me better. You know, got a good hit, buddy. You need to get outside. The inside's mine. You know, I'm not looking up, you know, family history and all that stuff. I'm just going out there having fun and playing with a chip on my shoulder, my emotions on my sleeve. And I try to let that show. I talk about it, but I'm not, you know, going to go out there and call out someone's mom or call them a naughty word. I'm just going to go have fun.
I got to ask you about one play in the Michigan game. There are a lot of plays, but there's one play you got called for roughing the passer, which was, I will say it so you don't have to, a ridiculous, ridiculous call in any interpretation of the rules. You basically did that to the quarterback, and that was a personal foul, and they actually looked at it, I think, on replay and confirmed it. When something like that happens, you didn't look that upset. If it had been me, if it had been most people, they probably would have lost their minds. Why did you not get so upset on that, what I call a ridiculous call?
Well, one, I was telling JJ this after that. I'm like, dude, there's no way they're going to throw me out for targeting, right? Like, this game's too good. We're playing too well for me to get thrown out for targeting. And he's kind of like, what the hell is this kid talking to me about? One. So I was relieved that it wasn't targeting when they called roughing the passer. So roughing the passer, you're not getting thrown out of the game. That was one. And then two, I think it's just a testament to, you know, I really pride myself on trying to stay calm and collected despite the situation and how big the moment may be. So, I mean, unfortunately, when you play football, like, not everything's going to go your way. There's going to be a bad call. There's going to be a couple times when other teams are doing things better that you're not stopping. So just a testament to me trying to stay cool, calm, and collected no matter the moment. So I think those are probably the two reasons. One, because it wasn't targeting, I didn't get thrown out. And then two, just staying calm and collected.
Okay. All right. Just a couple things about hometown. So I'm sure you've heard from everybody. Is there something, someone, any message, any conversation that sticks out after the game that you can share with us?
One message, I don't know. It's just so nice having a community just be so proud and happy for you and always believed in you and just been, you know, waiting forever for you to get this kind of chance. And now that you're kind of doing it, just putting them on the map, they're just grateful. And I'm grateful to have them in my life. But I'd obviously have to say Coach Kelly, Coach Moxley, Ernest Moxley, Aaron Moxley. He was my position coach at Quince Orchard when I was a young pup. And just talking to them after the game, just, you know, they got me here. Coach Kelly played a huge role in getting me here, reaching out to coaches, helping me out. You know, he was doing a lot behind the scenes when I knew I was done with my dad, just because, you know, he loves his players and I'm one of his favorites and it feels great. So I would just say, you know, live in those moments with those that are really close to me, former coaches that have big fans and stuff like that. Just, you know, not forgetting about them. And then just hearing back from them, just, it's been awesome. Been awesome. But yeah, I wouldn't say one moment, but obviously one of those two people outside of family.
Any message for your fans, friends that you may not have time to talk to yet because you're preparing for a big game? Any message for folks back home that'll be watching on January 9th?
Any message other than I just say go Frogs, you know, go Frogs. But yeah, I'm just really thankful for them and really thankful for the community and just completely blessed to grow up in such a good area with, you know, people that just love seeing people, you know, succeed. And a lot of people don't get put on a big athletic stage like I do. And the ones that do, it's just, you know, Jake Funk, like the whole community is rallying behind him. And I feel like it's kind of being the same way. So it's a little bit of a burden, but at the same time, it's like, I get to do this for people who love me and could care less if I do anything good. So just thank you, go Frogs, and thanks for the support. It's been awesome.
And all right, have you allowed yourself to think, what if, you know, when we beat Georgia, what that will be like? Have you allowed yourself a moment to think that at this point?
I'd say a little bit. I'm big on visualizing games, visualizing plays, visualizing what you want to happen. So obviously I'm going to dream about that because that's what I want to happen. But I mean, I'm not going out there like publicly saying, oh yeah, we're going to beat Georgia now. No, we're going to go out, play our tails off, and I'm visualizing us winning. Yes, because that's what I want to happen. So in a nutshell, yes, but really not. I'm not going out there cocky. I'm going out there confident, not cocky.
Johnny, thank you so much. Congratulations to get to this point. Best of luck in the game January 9th and beyond. Really appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
Oh, of course. Of course. Anything for a Maryland, you know, news source. So, of course.
Thank you. That's Johnny Hodges. I'm Joe Yashroff, Director of Content at Montgomery Community Media, and this has been MoCo's Most Famous. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.